Hello and welcome to National League Town, Mets fandom, Mets history, Mets life, with Long Island's own Greg Prince and Jeff Heisen. Hi everyone, it's Jeff. Greg is on assignment this week. On today's special edition of National League Town, we look back at Jeff's brilliant ideas. If you're new to National League Town, Jeff's Brilliant Ideas is a beloved segment of the show where I make a suggestion to improve something related to the Mets or Major League Baseball. These are common sense ideas, at least to me. Have they held up over time? Have any of them been implemented? We'll listen to them again and I will comment. So let's look back at Jeff's Brilliant Ideas. As fans of the show fondly remember, the first ever Jeff's Brilliant Idea, or JBI, was on June 23rd, 2022, and it's called Doubleheaders.
There used to be a time when a national holiday meant doubleheaders, obviously. They play doubleheaders on national holidays because most everyone is off from work and school, so people have more leisure time to follow baseball. But then the owners realized that two games in one day meant only one gate, and since the players didn't like them, no one minded when scheduled doubleheaders were done away with. No one asked the fans, but you knew that. Instead, MLB treats national holidays as just another day on the schedule. This year, six teams didn't play on Memorial Day, and that's absurd. It's time to create events on the schedule, rather than one day just leading to the next. Days that fans will circle and look forward to. And one way is for every team to play a doubleheader on national holidays. Memorial Day, July 4th, and Labor Day. In fact, add a fourth for Juneteenth, which is also a national holiday. 30 games in one day. Spread out the start times and we'll have baseball all day long. The owners will hate it. Too bad. The players will hate it. Too bad. Sometimes you have to give something back to the game instead of just taking and taking, especially after depriving us of a proper offseason and spring training. The fans will love it, and that should count at least once in a while. Think of the buzz across the country as every team plays a doubleheader. Pete did what? Did you see what Otani did? So much is going on. Isn't it great? It will be. A full day with 30 games, four times a season. Let's do it.
And did they do it? No, they haven't even come close. Major League Baseball continues to churn out the schedule with one day folding into the next without any events. In fact, in 2023, the Mets had off on two national holidays. What kind of dopes think of that? The Mets were off on two national holidays when their fans had nothing else to do but watch baseball. No business should be run like that. Look at the NBA. They seem to understand how long their season is, so they've created this weird in-season tournament. I'm not suggesting that Major League Baseball do the same thing, but at least the NBA recognizes the length of the schedule and they are doing something about it. Major League Baseball does nothing. They just change the site of certain games, London, Mexico City, but those are just backdrops to watching baseball on TV. Major League Baseball doesn't think these things through. My idea still has validity. A doubleheader on every national holiday for every single team. That's the way to go. The second JBI continued that theme. It was from January 19th, 2023, where I advocate for a day game every day of the season. Let's contrast what the NFL does with MLB and how the NFL creates windows for viewing. The NFL used to be a Sunday afternoon only sport. Then Monday Night Football was created. Then there were games on Thursday nights, a few Saturdays and Sunday nights. You know what I mean, because you can't avoid it. Meanwhile, on most days, baseball plays 15 games at night. With that compressed schedule, some of the greatness of baseball gets lost. And more importantly, those hours don't fit into everyone's life. Let's fix it. And a good way to start is by scheduling at least one game every afternoon. A day game every day creates a new window when baseball is on display. No matter who's playing, it's a real game. Instead of tweets about lineups, we can have tweets with game action. Plus, and this is more important, it allows people who can't watch at night to watch baseball, including those that work at night and those coming home from school. They will now have the option of putting on a live ball game. And maybe a kid will be able to see the end of a game, even if it's a school night, because the game started in the afternoon. There are day games on one or two weekdays and most Saturdays already, so this isn't a huge change. And there are enough broadcast partners to make each of these day games a national broadcast. Still, the owners will gripe about lower attendance and ratings, but you have to think about the long-term interests of the game. And that means a day game every day of the season. Let's do it.
They did not do it, but I still like that one.
And I'm incredulous that they haven't taken any steps to implement it. But combine the first one and the second one, and I said something similar in both of them. The owners won't like it. This is not about the fans. This is about the owners. The owners don't like day games. The owners want games at night. More people can go. More people can watch. But they are not thinking long term. They never do. Manfred never does. This is a great idea, if I do say so myself. A day game every day of the season. It should have been done by now. Let's hope they do it in the future. JBI number 3 was on February 23rd, 2023, and it concerned the then-new Ghost Runners rule. After seeing the Ghost Runners rule for a season, I still stick by this. They call it the Extra Runner. It's also called the Ghost Runner, the Zombie Runner, the Manfred Man. I like that one. It was implemented in 2020 for health and safety reasons, so everyone wasn't staying at the ballpark for too long during the pandemic. We were told that it was a temporary change. Then the rule remained in place in 21 and in 22, and as of last week, it's permanent. Of course it is. The owners want it, the players want it, the media wants it. You can't sell beer after the seventh inning, so the owners don't make any extra money during extra innings. If you work from 9 to 5, you don't want to stay until 6, so the players like it. The managers want it so they don't destroy their bullpens. And the media wants it to file their stories and go home. The fix is in, and that's why the rule remains. Nobody asked the fans, of course. I bargained. I tried to think of alternatives. Started in the 11th, in the 12th, have the runner on first in the 10th, second in the 11th, and I realized that I was just rationalizing. The rule is boring. You remove the thrill and anxiety of realizing that the winning run is on second by just plopping the runner there. I had an idea of a better way to do it to make it palatable, but it's too complicated for Major League Baseball.
Is it one of Jeff's brilliant ideas?
I think so. So let's call it the full employment for Billy Hamilton and Terrence Gore rule. Here's how it works. In the 10th inning only, the runner starts at first, not at second, but the manager has the option of replacing the runner, player that made the last out, with anyone on the bench who hasn't been in the game. And that runner is only in the game for that half inning. For example, it's the bottom of the 10th. Nito made the last out in the 9th, so he's supposed to be the runner. But Buck can use anyone on his bench, call it the designated runner, and he sends out Terrence Gore to run. Again, it's the 10th, so the runner starts at first. Think of the excitement. He's going to run. That's the sole reason for his existence on the team. The other team knows he's going to run, and the fans know he's going to run. That's a lot more exciting than simply plopping the runner at second, as here, Gore has to earn it, to steal it. If the Mets don't score, Gore is out of the game, and Nito returns to the lineup.
So after seeing the Ghost Runner rule in effect for a year, tell me what you would have preferred, my idea or what they did. I think my idea is still much better, and I stand by what I said then. Putting a runner at second takes some of the excitement out of the game. But why won't the owners do what I suggested, having a pinch runner only? The same reason they won't do the first two. They would have to add another player to the roster for this sole purpose. We don't care. They're making tons of money. They nickel and dime all the time. That's why they won't do this. But I'll stand by my idea and say it is far superior to the ghost runner rule as implemented. The next one isn't as serious, and it wasn't even labeled as a JBI. I was in Florida. I had just returned from a spring training game and noted that Mets fans couldn't watch or hear the game that I attended. So I made these remarks.
And finally, a commentary. The Mets need to do a better job of broadcasting these spring games. I know that they're meaningless, but there are people in Mets uniforms playing baseball, so we want to watch or hear every game. For example, the fact that Justin Verlander's first appearance in a Mets uniform wasn't televised by the Mets is absurd, even if it was a road game. I'm not saying that Howie should call more games, his head would explode, but every game should be on either TV, radio, or the internet. And if you think that's fanciful, then brace yourself, because the Marlins do it. Yes, every Marlins spring game is on either TV, radio, or at Marlins.com, and you know that both of their fans appreciate it. The Cardinals and Mariners do this too. I didn't check every team, but that's at least three which do more for their fans in the spring than the Mets. There is no reason why every game can't be somewhere, even if it's at Mets.com. WCBS Radio doesn't care about baseball at all. That was a terrible deal for the fans by Jeffy Wolfpon, of course. Hopefully the next radio deal will be better for the fans, and I'm sure that Steve will take care of it. But for now, get every game on somewhere already.
Let's hope that the Mets heard that and implement what I suggested. Again, I know that these games are just practice, but the Mets are playing, or at least people in Mets uniforms. It's the end of February. It's March. It's cold in New York. We want to hear baseball, even if it's just practice baseball. It's still people wearing the Mets uniform. So, Steve Cohen, if you're listening, get every spring game on either TV, radio, or the internet. You can do this. March 23rd, 2023. I knew the WBC was going to be trouble, and it was. I tried to come up with an idea to fix it because I knew that Manfred loved it and it wouldn't go away.
I wish more players thought the way Nimmo did. The Mets just gave me a contract for $1 bazillion. I'm not going to leave to go play for Team Italy, as Nimmo said. I'm going to here to work for my employer. I wish that all of the Mets said that, and as you paraphrase Billy, the Mets didn't have the power to stop them. In the future, there's talk about moving it to midseason, but that messes up the teams from around the world. Moving it to the end of the season, Fox doesn't want it. Fox barely showed this. They only had one game on the parent network. Fox has enough broadcasting in November, and maybe the players are tired in November. So this may be it. Perhaps, and I'm not saying this is a brilliant idea, but perhaps you start the spring training schedule earlier. You have a full spring training, so nobody's leaving after 2 weeks, and then playing in intense games without a proper spring training. And then you, at the time the season's supposed to start, that's when you have the WBC. And maybe you can even play two out of threes instead of single elimination games in the quarterfinals, et cetera. And then you compress the season, send the season another week into November. Maybe that's the way to go. That's not a perfect plan, because that means players who have prepped for the season are sitting around for 2 weeks. But I think it's better than what we have.
Definitely. It's definitely better than the WBC. And I said at the time that it wasn't a brilliant idea, but I think I sold it short. because after seeing the NBA's weird in-season tournament, and you know Major League Baseball's trying to do something to match it, so how about this? Shorten the regular season once every 4 years, lengthen spring training, have the WBC at the end of March, beginning of April. It changes the landscape at least once every 4 years without having an artificial in-season tournament that really doesn't mean anything other than giving the players a few extra dollars. In a perfect world, this wouldn't be necessary. I don't like the WBC, but it's here to stay. Manfred loves it. He thinks it's great for the game. I'm a Mets fan. I want Mets baseball. I don't want the WBC. But sadly, it's here to stay. So this is an alternative, and I think an improvement. I like this idea. I think it's an improvement, but I don't think it's going to happen. In 3 years, we'll have the same WBC that we had last year, and this time we'll sit there afraid that another player is going to get hurt in the name of a meaningless preseason tournament. If you're going to have international competition, my idea is much better. The All-Star Game is a frequent topic on NLT, and I've said before that the All-Star Game itself is the worst part of All-Star Week, that you could do everything else that you do during the All-Star Week, up to and including the introduction of the players, and as soon as the players are introduced, go home, and no one would care, because the way things are now, the All-Star Game is superfluous to All-Star Week. But I had a better idea. There was a time when we couldn't wait for the All-Star Game, as it was our only chance to see Tom Seaver pitch to Tony Oliva or a Met face a Yankee, because we wouldn't see that at any other time unless they were in the World Series. Now, every team plays every other team every year, so the All-Star Game has become superfluous. But think about it. You could have everything that leads up to the game, the vote, the naming of the All-Star pitchers and non-starters, the futures game, the off-day workout, the home run derby, the player introductions, and then everyone goes home without playing the game, and you wouldn't care, because the All-Star Game is the worst part of All-Star Week. But I have a way. Call it a brilliant idea to make the All-Star Game better, and it's by taking a page from the NBA. You'd have the home run derby, but now all of the players selected for the game are there, waiting and watching, because the two finalists in the derby will become the team captains for the All-Star Game. And as soon as the derby is over, the captains have a schoolyard pick'em for the game, regardless of league. The first pick has to be a pitcher, so we don't leave out pitchers for too long, as they aren't in the derby, and that pitcher becomes the co-captain. The derby winner picks first, and we see the faces of the players because they are right there, waiting to be picked. It would be exciting. What's the strategy? Do you load up with pitching or with power? When do you take your teammates? It would make for a fun game the next day, something that takes us back to our childhood when we got to the field and chose up sides. They could even toss a bat to see whose hand is closest to the handle to see which team has first ups. The NL and AL distinctions have faded, despite the name of this show, and might go away when expansion comes. My idea injects life into the moribund All-Star Game, and is a way of starting something new, something different, something fun. And that's what the All-Star Game should be, fun. Make the two finalists in the Home Run Derby the All-Star captains, choose up sides, and play ball. Let's do it. No, they haven't done it. But they should. My idea for the All-Star Game brings new life to it, would create new interest, and I hope that they'll consider it at some point. And now we've come to our final Jeff's Brilliant Idea. It's a simple one, and it's from August 31, 2023.
Stop clapping your hands. Of course you can applaud. Of course you can clap your hands. What I'm talking about is the incessant, omnipresent sound of everybody clap your hands. Clap, 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 clap. It's in every venue all over the world. In case you didn't know, it's from a 2000 song by DJ Casper called The Cha-Cha Slide. And if you don't remember the cha-cha slide, think back to weddings and bar mitzvahs that you went to around that time. Every single one had the cha-cha slide. I was pretty good at it, but I don't need to be told when to clap my hands. I can figure it out. It's unoriginal, it's boring, and it's outdated. So to every stadium all over America, all over the world, including Citi Field, stop playing the same clip demanding that everybody clap your hands.
It hasn't gone away, has it? But I know all of you agree with me. Come on, ballparks, come up with something new already, will ya? So there you have it, all seven of Jeff's brilliant ideas. What do you think of the show? So that'll do it for Jeff's Brilliant Ideas in Review. I hope you enjoyed today's show. There will be more brilliant ideas in the future because I'm never running out of ideas that I think are brilliant. And I look forward to sharing them with you on National League Town. I thank you for listening, and my thanks to Lyle Heisen of the Royal Arctic Institute and Das Damen for supplying the drum fills that I used on today's show. Greg and I will be back next week with an all-new episode of National League Town. So until then, for Greg Prince, I'm Jeff Heisen, and as always, let's go Mets! Copyright 2023, music provided by the Royal Arctic Institute. Check them out on Spotify.